Hello, hello. Ooh. You there? Yes. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. It's always nice to be able to preach the Word of God, and it's always nice to preach in a new church. I've never been here before preaching. But have I? No, I haven't. And I hope it's not the last time after you hear my sermon today. Just a little bit about myself in case you don't know much about me. I'm a member of Hinklet Seventh Adventist Church, just down the road. I'm one of the elders there. Also, you might notice like I have a little accent. Yeah, maybe not, but I do. I'm from Peru, okay? So my original language is Spanish, but I promise I'll speak only English today. I'm also a father, which I don't know where my family is. I hope they arrive already. They are. Got my wife and my two beautiful kids, and I'm also a paramedic, and that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, working. But praise the Lord for being able to help people anytime. Okay, the title this morning is When Doing Everything Right Isn't Enough. Okay, When Doing Everything Right Isn't Enough. And it's going to connect with Christmas later on, so don't worry. Let me ask you a few questions first. Is it possible, okay, is it possible to know a lot of information about Jesus, but yet not knowing him?
Yes.
Is it possible? Okay. Give you a different one. Is it possible to be a member of this church and come to church every Sabbath and yet not knowing Jesus for yourself? Are you sure? Okay, I'll give you a harder one. Is it possible to be a leader in the church, someone that is involved with ministry in the church, someone that is giving Bible studies, someone that is leading the classes on Sabbath school, someone that is preaching, and yet not knowing Jesus? Okay, you guys are tough. I'll give you a harder one. What about if you are a senior pastor of this church, and you've been working all your life bringing people to the feet of Jesus, baptizing people, leading campaigns, yet not knowing Jesus? Is that possible? You bet it is. I'm going to tell you a story of a senior Seventh-day Adventist pastor. He passed away already. I believe you might recognize his name. His name was Pastor Maurice Vanden. Have you heard of that pastor? Yes? Okay. Well, you might know this story or might not. This is a story when he was still a young preacher, a young pastor. He was giving this church, and within his congregation there was this beautiful old lady, the type of person that you can tell they are close to Jesus, if you know what I mean. She was very nice, very loving, always praying for the pastor. By the way, do you pray for your pastors and the leaders? We should. They need it, right? They need it. And so this lady was there in this church, and she happens to enjoy Pastor Maurice Vanden's sermons. She loved them. And every time when the pastor finished the sermon, he would go in the back and shake hands with the members. She would come and shake hands and say, thank you so much for the message. It was beautiful. But this particular Sabbath morning, he went out shaking hands of the member. That this lady came to him, shake his hands and said, Pastor Vanden, that was a fine sermon. Thank you so much. And Pastor said, oh, praise the Lord, sister. Thank you for that. But she didn't finish there. She said to him, Pastor, that was a fine sermon. And it will be even better the day that you know Jesus for yourself. Oh, you know. Pastor Maurice Vanden felt that those words very deeply. He didn't get angry at her because he knew that she meant well. And his reply was this. He got very close to her ear and he said, Sister, I didn't realize it show. Because he knew that she was right. And so Pastor Maurice Vanden goes to say that from that experience, he went into a journey, a personal journey, to get to know Jesus for himself. Because he knew that something was missing in his life. And he says that he got so hard to the point that he was very close to quit being a pastor because he was feeling like a fake. He was feeling like he was preaching every Sabbath, you know, giving Bible studies, yet not having a personal relationship with Jesus. And he went through a journey, like I said, talking to many pastors and friends and asking questions, how can I come closer to Jesus? How can I improve my relationship with Jesus? And he got it to the point that he was very satisfied with his relationship with Jesus. He says that one of the things that helped him the most was a little book by the name of Steps to Christ. Have you read that book before? Praise the Lord, it's an awesome book. Really recommend it if you haven't. And that book helped him, as the title says, to come closer to Jesus, to take those steps to come closer to Jesus. Now he says that later in his life, as he improved that relationship, close relationship with Jesus, his sermons became more powerful. When he was preaching, he wasn't doing anything extravagant or any different, but the fact that he was having a personal relationship with his Creator was making of his sermons to be very powerful, and more people will accept Christ through his ministry. Now, let me ask you another question. You don't have to answer this, but are you in that journey? Are you in the journey of getting to know Jesus for yourself? Or perhaps you're just a good member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Think about it. You know, we can many times be doing that thing. We can many times be active members of the church. We can even lead Bible studies. We can participate in community outreach programs. We can feed the poor. We can sing in the streets. We can preach. But we might not know Jesus for ourselves. All right. I'm going to ask you to come with me now to the Bible. I usually would put it on the screen, but there's no screen today. So you have to come in your Bibles or your mobile phones, whatever you use, to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. Book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. And this is the story that you all know, the story of the young rich ruler. Yeah, we all know that story. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. Are we there? Amen. All right. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and this is what it says. Verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, this is to Jesus, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love the neighbor, your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20, the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. Why do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Verse 22 says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Okay, this young man was a ruler, okay? He had a lot of money, a lot of possessions, but also a lot of responsibilities within the council of the Jews. Now, previous verses in the same chapter, chapter 19, shows Jesus attending the children. Very well-known verses. And so the spirit of prophecy says that this young ruler was actually observing Jesus interacting with the kids. And he saw how loving, how tender he was towards them. And that kindled in his heart the desire to experience the same thing. And so as Jesus was going his way, and by the way, Jesus was not alone. There was a lot of people around. This young man, which was a ruler, right? He went running towards Jesus and kneeled down at his feet. Imagine that, in front of everyone. And asked that sincere question, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? And what was Jesus' answer? What did he start saying? He started by saying, why do you call me good? Right? That is a weird thing to say, would you say? But let me tell you something. Perhaps you don't know this, but there is a book that the Jews use that is called the Mishnah Berurah. which basically means the clear teachings. It's a commentary of the Jewish laws and practices written by rabbis. And in this book, no rabbi or teacher is ever called good. No one. The only one that is called good or the maker of good things is God himself. Okay? So Jesus wanted to make sure that the young ruler knew who he was talking about. Because Jesus didn't say, don't do it, don't tell me that, right? So he was making sure that everyone knows that he is talking to the Son of God. Now, this young man had very high estimate of his own righteousness. He thought that he was pretty much perfect in everything, but he knew that something was missing in his life. That's why he was looking for Jesus. And so when he saw Jesus, like I said, interacting with the kids, that sort of like made him feel more desired of that. And then Jesus told him later on that obedience to the commandments was a necessity, okay, to obtain eternal life. And he then quoted the commandments, you know, those focusing on man's duties to his fellow man, because Jesus knew his heart. Because this young man, he was already keeping the first commandments for sure. Now, the young ruler's answer was, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Now, let me ask you a question. Will you be prepared to stand face to face with Jesus and tell him in his face, I have kept your commandments? Are you able to do that? Well, this young man did, and he was being honest. He was a good Jew, you know. He was keeping all the commandments, but also he was keeping the extra laws, the ceremonial laws that they have, 613 of them. But something was missing, you see. He was counting his own works as righteousness. That was the problem. Now, Jesus was able to read his heart. He knew that there was a vital principle that was missing in his life. He needed the love of God in his soul. And you know what? To receive God's love, the supreme love of self that we all have, should be surrendered first. Amen? Now, Jesus asked this young man to sell all his things and give it to the poor. Because anything that goes between you and your Savior is worthless, isn't it? It's worthless, completely worthless. The problem with this young man is his heart was somewhere else. You know, Jesus wanted to give him peace, love, grace, everything that this man was missing, but his heart was somewhere else. And so the young ruler came to Jesus, and Jesus pointed to his real needs. That's what he did. And it wasn't easy for him to accept the things that he needed to change in his life. Now, when you come to Jesus, if you make in your heart a decision to come to him and find him as your friend and Savior, be prepared to be shaken, because God is going to show you the real things that you need in your life. It might not be nice. Now, I want to share with you a few quotes from a book called A Call to Stand Apart. This is page 15. And it says, talking about Jesus and the interaction with the young rich ruler. Jesus has shown him the plague spot in his character, and with what deep interest he watched the issue as the young man weighed the question. If he decided to follow Christ, he must obey his words in everything. So the young man's heart was tempted by Satan, quickly focusing on the many possessions that he had, on the position that he enjoyed within the council of the Jews. But you know, all of these things that he was grabbing and didn't want to let go was short-lasting things. And how many times we do the same? We focus on things that are just, but you know, mere little things in this world that very soon will disappear. This young man didn't realize the eternal value of Jesus' offer. Come and follow me. You know, this young man, he wanted the treasures of heaven. He wanted all the blessings that Jesus was giving. But he didn't want to let go as well. He wanted eternal life, but not at the cost of leaving the things that he loved. The same book, A Call to Stand Apart, the same page, page 15, says the next. He showed him that riches were his idol. He could not keep the commandments, listen to this, he could not keep the commandments of God while the world was first in his affections. You cannot keep the commandments of God while the world is first in your life. And then he says this, she says this. He loved the gifts of God more than he loved the giver of those gifts. I really hope that's not our situation. My friends, we all go through experiences similar to this. We all have spots in our characters, right, that need to be changed. We must change those with God's help, because in ourselves we don't have power, do we? We must decide to follow him each and every day, because it's a daily thing. And if we do so, we must remember to trust the Lord and to do everything that he asks for us, because he wants the very best for us. And also, let's pray that we never choose the world rather than the Lord, and never trust in our own righteousness. That's a big, big mistake. And you know what? The decision has to be done now, as soon as. Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day whom you will serve. If anything I've learned in my profession as a paramedic is that life is very, very fragile. Super fragile. You have no idea. You don't know when it's going to be your last day. Many horrible things happen in the world. So you don't have security. Your security is in Jesus Christ every single day. There was another man in the Bible that had also an encounter with Jesus, similar to this young ruler. He was also visited by Jesus and also invited to follow him. His name was Matthew Levi. And if you come with me to the book of Mark chapter 2, verse 14. Mark chapter 2, verse 14. That is the little encounter that he had with Jesus. Mark chapter 2, verse 14. Are we there? I'm still hearing some pages. I'll wait a little bit. All right. Mark chapter 2, verse 14 says, as he passed by, this is Jesus, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. He was a tax collector. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Very different reaction than the young ruler. Now, of the Roman officials in Palestine, none were more hated than the publicans, than the tax collectors. I mean, do you love tax collectors? Seriously. But for the Jews, it was even worse. You see, for them to pay taxes was a constant reminder that they were under another government, the Romans. It's a horrible thing. But not just that. The Jews not only hated the publicans, the tax collectors, because they were, corrupted, right? Because they used to charge more and get the money. That's how they make themselves rich. But they used to hate them because they considered them betrayers of the honor of the Jewish nation. And so they put them in the same category as the apostates. And if you know that, apostates was the lowest of the lowest, the vilest of society for a Jew. And that's how Matthew was seen. Now, with all this bad reputation, God, or Jesus sees Matthew. He sees his heart. He knows what he can come to be with his help. And he approaches him. And that's exactly how Jesus looks at you and me. With all the mistakes that you can make, with all the horrible things you might have in your character, as far as you can think that you are from the Lord, he still looks at you as how you can be with his help. Amen? He never gives up on you and never will. But it's your decision to open your heart. He only wants the very best from us. And so Matthew knew about Jesus, okay? And like the young ruler, he knew something was missing in his life. The difference with Matthew was that he didn't consider himself perfect. He knew that he was unworthy. He knew there was something wrong in his life. He had money, he had possessions, but he wasn't happy. And the Holy Spirit was working in Matthew's heart, convincing him of sin and the need of a Savior. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. When you pray the Lord for the Holy Spirit to come to your life, believe me, he's going to convince you, first of all, of your sins and of your need of a Savior, because you're a sinner. Matthew used to be rejected by everyone in the Jew, the leaders of the Jews, but the rabbis. And so he thought maybe Jesus is going to do the same, because I'm a sinner. But how great and how wonderful was his surprise when Jesus approached to him and said, Matthew, follow me. Did he delay? He didn't. Another quote from the book, A Call Stands Apart, page 16, says this. Matthew left all, rose up and followed him. There was no hesitation, no questioning, no thought of a lucrative business to be exchanged for poverty and hardship. He didn't think of that once. It was enough for him that he was to be with Jesus, that he might listen to his words and unite with him in his work. That's a beautiful decision of Matthew. Now, very different, right? The Pharisees, like the young rich ruler, were focused on what they were able to do in order to obtain salvation. As if salvation was something that we can obtain by our works. We are nothing, okay? Whereas this man, Matthew, saw himself not worthy and in need of a savior, and Jesus can work with that. Amen? Same book again, A Call to Stand Apart, this time page 17. I really recommend this book, it's beautiful. A legal religion can never lead souls to Christ, for it is lawless, Christless religion. And by the way, legal religion doesn't mean that you're keeping the commandments. Legal religion means that you're keeping the commandments thinking that you can be saved by doing so. I'll explain the difference in a moment. And then it says, fasting or prayer that is actuated by a self-justifying spirit is an abomination in the sight of God. Our own works can never purchase salvation. Is that clear? Our own works can never, never purchase salvation. Now, can this happen to any of us? Can we get caught up in our own righteousness instead of trusting the Lord's power to overcome evil? It's happened to me. Sometimes we can consider ourselves great Christians, but not having a really good relationship with Jesus. Now, let me ask you another question. What saves us? Is keeping the Sabbath holy saving us? Surely, right? It's eating vegetarian, vegan food saving you? No? It's perhaps giving your tithes and offering saving you? It's dressing well for church saving you? No? Giving Bible studies to a friend definitely going to save you, right? No. What is the only thing that saves us is Jesus Christ. Amen? Now come with me to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 16. And this is the story of Paul and Silas when they came out of prison. Acts chapter 16. We're going to read maybe verse, let's say 27 to 34, just to have an idea of the whole situation. So there was like an earthquake, an actual earthquake, and the foundations of the jail were broken. So let's read it. Verse 27 to 34. 27 says, and the keeper of the prison, awakening from the sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Verse 29, then he called for a light, running, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31 says, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What did they need to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. So what happened after he decided to follow Christ? Well, verse 32, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. They have Bible studies. And then what happened? And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Verse 34, now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. It's sort of like the steps that happens in your Christian walk, right? You get to know about Christ, then you have Bible studies, then you get baptized, and then you go to church, basically. Okay? But this is what happened. He didn't need to do any magical thing or force himself. He just needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the one that gives salvation. Unfortunately, to many of us, the Christian walk can become a routine. I don't know if it's happened to you. Just think about, for example, when you pray in the morning. How many times you don't even think what you're saying, you just say it because you're so used to doing it. Or when you pray before a meal, how many of you really think what you're saying? It just becomes a routine. I've been a Seventh-day Adventist all my life, 41 years. Many times I tell you, it becomes a routine. Church, life, a routine. You have to break that routine and become a real follower of Christ. Now, a pastor was invited to lead a week of prayer, okay, for young kids in an Adventist school. This is in the U.S. as well. And because he didn't know much about this school, he sent a single question to be answered by the students before his coming, because he wanted to make sure, he wanted to know where were the kids spiritually. And this pastor has used the same question to adults as well, and he says that he gets the same answer time and time again. And this was the question: what is a Christian? Now think about it, what would you say? What is a Christian? That's the only question in the questionnaire. Now, the result might surprise you. 98%, 95 to 98% of the answers were among these statements. A Christian is someone who does the right thing. A Christian is somebody who stays out of trouble. A Christian is someone who goes to church. A Christian is someone who is respectful. A Christian is someone who doesn't go to indecent places. A Christian is someone who doesn't cheat on his wife or husband. A Christian is someone who is honest. A Christian is someone who reads the Bible. A Christian is someone who helps in need. A Christian is somebody who dresses modestly. A Christian is someone who doesn't do drugs. That's where the answers were. Do you see the problem? Do you see the problem? The answers were focused on how you act, what you do or don't do. Do you need to be a Christian to do those things or not to? No, I know a lot of people are not Christians. They're super against God, and they live by those things. Let's open our Bibles. I've got four verses that I want to read with you. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. The next one is going to be Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Does keeping the law make you safe? No. Keeping the law shows your real condition and your need of a Savior. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. He says, clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. And there's a couple more verses that I want to read with you. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And Titus chapter 3, verse 5. You can write them down and read it later, but I can read it for you. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. And Titus 3, 5. This is what they say. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Even faith comes from the Lord. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And then Titus 3:5 says, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. Amen? Now, Pastor Maurice Vanden had a son that became a pastor, Pastor Lee Vanden. Have you heard of him? Well, I learned the story of his father because of him. And he has a quote that I love that I want to share with you. This is what he says. Christianity is not about what you do. Okay? Christianity is not about what you do, but who you know. And who you know will change what you do. Should I repeat that? Christianity is not about what you do, but who you know. And who you know will change what you do. So if you're having a problem in your church, if you are struggling because the youth is not listening, You want the youth to dress better to church. You want the adults to eat better. You want people to start studying the Bible and don't be lazy. People to study the lesson. Or no one wants to participate in the church. If you're having those problems, don't attack the problem. Just attack the root of that problem, which is the relationship with Jesus. You bring that person closer to Jesus, and Jesus is going to take care of the rest that needs to be taken care of. Amen? That's how it works. Behavior is important, by the way. It's not that it's not. The commandments are important. Obedience to the Lord is important. But it needs to be as a result of a personal relationship with Jesus. Does that make myself clear? Yes? Amen. Now, do you know Jesus? That is the question. Do we know Jesus? We read earlier the scripture reading in John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Is who you know. It is who you know. Let me tell you a story. As you know, I come from Peru. I come from a town called Lima. Very crowded, it's very corrupted. Okay, there's a lot of corruption in South America. And it's even worse at the moment, believe me. But anyways, when I was around 14 years old, 15 perhaps, we were together with the youth and we were going in a camping trip. We rented this bus and we were on our way to a place for camping for a few days. And we also wanted to do some missionary work. So we also brought with us some books and some donations, and we were going to visit this town and give stuff around. So everybody was there. The youth leader, his name was Julio Rojas. He was in the front with the driver, and I was just behind him. And as we were coming closer and closer to this place, a couple of police cars stopped the bus. Now, you might say, it's okay, it happens all the time. No. When it happens in South America, it's because they want something from you, especially if you haven't done anything wrong. So the police officer comes to the driver, he says, papers. Give the papers, they haven't been speeding or anything. And then he says, you are not allowed to come to this place with such a big bus. But how come? I've done it before. No, you're not allowed to. You're going to have to go back. You have problems. You might get a big fine. So in other words, they just wanted a reason to get money from us. And he wouldn't budge. Julio started talking to the guy, trying to convince him, you know, we're a group from church. We're actually doing a good thing in this community. We're going to give some food and clothes and books. No, he just wanted money. Julio didn't really want to call his dad for help. You know, Julio was an adult, so, but he did in the end. Grab the phone, call his dad. His dad's name was Ramiro Rojas, and from our church as well. And Ramiro Rojas at work used to be known as General Rojas. Okay, he was a general from the police in Peru, and you know, general is the highest position you can get. Look, I got these officers here making some trouble. We haven't done anything wrong. Can you please talk to them? Yeah, no problem. Pass the phone, and I was there, and you can see the face of the guy. You know, Julio says, this is my dad. He's the General Rojas. Grab the phone, almost shaking. Yes, my general, he says. I'm talking whatever he said. No problem, my general. I'm so sorry, my general. Yes, my general. Gave the phone back. And then he says, I'm so sorry, it was a misunderstanding from our part. You know what we're going to do? We're going to escort you all the way to the camp so no one stops you or annoy you. And he did. He followed us with his car and the lights and everything. So it was a beautiful experience. You know, it was so great, so happy for us to get to know, to know General Rojas. It was so good to have a friend in high places, right? Now, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? Yes. Yes. Well, you need a friend in the highest of places to go to heaven. You know why? Because it's who you know. Now, come with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. And we're finishing soon. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Horrible words. I hope you never hear those words from the Lord. You know, those things described in verse 22 are actually good things, right? God is not against keeping the law. God is not against helping the neighbor. God is not against good works in general. But they must be a reaction of that connection with Jesus. Okay? That is the key. Knowing Jesus. Remember, Christianity is not about what you do, but who you know, and who you know will change what you do. Now, the word know, in Hebrew, yadeh, and in Greek, ginosko, basically means not just to get to know something, but it's deeper than that. For example, the Bible uses the word know when it says Adam knew, or know, yeah, knew his wife, and conceived and bare Cain. So, my friends, Jesus is looking for something special with you, for something more than just head knowledge. Jesus is looking for an intimate, deep, personal, meaningful, below the surface, no casual relationship with you. And you know what? That type of relationship brings fruits. Jesus wants your hearts as well as your minds. And I finish with this quote, Desire of Ages, page 309. Says this, the greatest deception of the human mind in Christ's day was that a mere assent to the truth constitutes righteousness. And I think it happens today as well. In all human experience, and this is for us, a theoretical knowledge of the truth has proven to be insufficient for the saving of the soul. Many take it for granted that they are Christians, simply because they subscribe to certain theological tenets. Brothers and sisters, being a member of the Adventist Church is not going to save you. Men may profess faith in the truth, but sinful men can become righteous only as they have faith in God and maintain a vital connection with Him. You want to be saved? You need to maintain a vital connection with Jesus, your personal friend, best friend, and Savior. How do you do that? By waking up every morning with the Lord, going through the day with the Lord, and finish your day with the Lord. It's not just about praying before you go to work, not just about praying before you eat. It's about having a life of prayer. It's about having Bible studies with yourself and with others. And it's about witnessing. You have no idea how important witnessing is in your own walk with the Lord. Ask the Lord every single day before you go to work or whatever you do, to please give you a chance to talk to someone about Him. And it doesn't matter how much you think you know. You don't need to be a pastor to be able to share your life, to be able to share what you know with others. And that's going to empower you to come closer to Jesus as well. We all believe Jesus is coming back again. Amen? But let me tell you, He's coming back for His friends. Are you His friend? If you are like me, that your relationship with Jesus becomes a routine at times, that you are used to the living Christian life, but you realize that you don't really know Jesus for yourself. If it's your desire to reconnect with Jesus and to experience an intimate, deep, personal, meaningful, below the surface, not casual relationship that will bring fruits to your life, fruits of obedience to His commandments, fruits of changes to your character and behavior, think about those things and come closer to Jesus. Tomorrow the world is celebrating Christmas, right? Most of the world celebrates Santa Claus. A lot, big part of the world celebrates Jesus. Make sure you celebrate Jesus. We know that Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. We know that. But we still celebrate because He is our joyful gift, right? He's our joyful gift. Without Him, we are absolutely nothing. No hope. And I was thinking this to close. You know how we give gifts to each other in Christmas. I know the world has made of that practice a big business, but it still is nice to share gifts with your kids, with your family. I love the faces of my daughters when they open those presents, the excitement on their faces. It is definitely nicer to give than to receive. But what about a gift that we can give to Jesus tomorrow? Have you thought about it? Is there anything possibly that Jesus doesn't have that you can give to Him? What can we give to Him that He doesn't have? What about your life? He cannot force you. You have to be a gift to Him. So I encourage you in this Christmas, as we finish this sermon with this thought, to come closer to Jesus, to take this opportunity to say to him, Lord, I want to give my life to you. This is going to be my present to you in this Christmas. And not just because people say that, it's because I really want to have a close walk with you. I want to experience what Matthew experienced. I want to experience what other people experience by walking closer to you. I want to see what wonderful things you can do through me, a simple sinner that is just present and ready for you to use me. I challenge you to do that this morning. I challenge you to take your relationship with Jesus seriously. Like again, I said, you never know when is your last day going to be. Be with the Lord. Be ready every single day. And for those of you that would like to pray with me, I invite you to stand up. And I would like to pray for you for that commitment, for that spiritual life, that it can increase and you can really enjoy having him by your side. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these decisions that many people are taking this morning. Lord, you know us even better than we know ourselves. You know exactly what we need. You know what we need to change in our lives. You know how weak we are, Lord, but we also know how powerful you are. And you are a God that wants to be by our side. You want to transform us. You want to get us ready for heaven. And through us, you want to prepare others to go to heaven as well. So we ask you, Lord, that you can help us to take our personal walk with you very seriously. That we might leave this place challenged, Lord, this coming new year, challenged to start, to continue during the day, and to finish the day with you, Lord, to read our Bibles and to witness to others, Lord. Show us your power. Show us how you can change our lives by having a closer relationship with you, Lord. We thank you so much for never giving up on us. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.